Welcome to A Little Self-Reliant, a podcast designed to help you embrace a bit more self-sufficiency no matter where you're at. I'm your host, Ashley Constance, and my mission is to guide you towards practical and attainable skills to cultivate a more self-reliant life. Whether you live on a farm in the country or a house in the city, I believe that there is something for everyone in the world of self-reliance. If you love soul-centered conversations around growing food, sustainability, modern homesteading, and connection to the land that feeds us, then this is the place for you. Hello, and welcome back to the podcast. This is episode number 12, How to Grow Potatoes, and today is Monday, April 18th of 2022. Happy Monday, and I hope that you all had a wonderful Easter weekend, if that's something that you celebrate. And if you don't celebrate Easter, then hopefully you had a nice, long, relaxing weekend. I know we have been very much enjoying our long weekend around here, and we have been eating way too many chocolates and treats and food and goodies and all the things. So I do not have any announcements this week, but I do have a new review to read, and this review comes from Apple Podcasts. This 5-star rating and review comes from Kimberly Allen. It's titled Fun and Interesting, and Kimberly says, "Thanks for bringing your enthusiasm for homesteading and sharing practical information in such a kind and caring way. We love listening." Thank you so much, Kimberly. I do try to keep it practical and enthusiastic over here, so I am thrilled that that has translated over. Kimberly is also a fellow podcaster and Canadian. She lives on Vancouver Island here in Canada, and her show is called A Year on the Farm. I could go on and on about how awesome and inspiring Kimberly is, but actually she is going to be my very first podcast guest in the near future here, so you will just have to stay tuned for that. I cannot wait to chat with her. If you would like to hear your review read on a future episode and you haven't already left one, it would mean so much to me if you could do that. Head over to your podcast player of choice and leave a rating, and if you're using Apple Podcasts, you can even write a short review if you want to. These ratings and reviews help this show to be discovered by many more people, and they always make me smile as well. Okay, so homestead update. There is not a whole lot new here, honestly. We've been laying low over the long weekend, as I said, doing lots of cooking and also lots of eating, and taking care of the chicks and the seedlings, and basically just waiting on spring. The weather has been unseasonably cold this week, with temperatures down to like minus 15 degrees Celsius overnight, which is just so cold for this time of year. And we are just itching to get outside and get started on some spring projects, but we can't do that until things warm up a bit and the ground thaws. We did breed both of our two female rabbit mamas this past week, and that went fairly well. The rabbits aren't really something I've spoken much about on this podcast or on my social media. Partly because they are more of my husband's thing. Sean pretty much is the rabbit guy. But also because, I'm going to be honest here, I'm not sure that I'm ready to deal with all of the backlash that I'm probably going to get when I do talk about raising rabbits for meat. I'm sure one day I'll get up the courage to have a whole podcast episode all about meat rabbits, but I'm just not quite there yet. But anyway, both of our does appear to be bred, and we should be expecting baby bunnies at the beginning of May if all goes well. Okay, so on to our main topic for today, which I ended up polling you guys last week on Instagram, and I asked if you wanted to hear about gardening books or how to grow potatoes, and overwhelmingly the response was that you wanted to hear about potatoes. So this week's episode is all about how to grow great potatoes in your summer garden. I always say that I have never met a potato I didn't like. Not only are they fairly easy to grow in the garden, but I also feel like they're the unsung hero of the vegetable world. Their versatility gives us mashed potatoes, baked potatoes, fries, hash browns, pierogies, gnocchi, and even potato bread. They're even amazing just roasted with a bit of olive oil and rosemary. The humble spud also packs a huge punch when it comes to caloric density, vitamins, and nutrients. I never want my summer garden to be without potatoes, and hopefully after you listen to this episode, you will feel the same way. So first, we want to talk about selecting seed potatoes. So what are seed potatoes? Well, unlike many other vegetables, potatoes aren't grown from seeds. They're actually grown by planting the tuber, or the potato itself. One potato becomes a potato plant, which produces more potatoes. I believe the average is about 5 to 10 potatoes per plant, although my experience has been many more than that. And I think certain varieties produce a lot more than just 5 to 10 per plant. So when choosing a potato variety, it's helpful to know what you intend to do with your potato harvest. Some potatoes lend themselves best to being harvested young as new potatoes or baby potatoes for fresh eating, while others have excellent long-term storage capabilities. Some are ideal for boiling and mashing, while others are ideal for roasting or making fries. Certain potatoes have also been bred for resistance to common diseases, which may be an issue in your particular area. So choose a few potato varieties that suit your needs and what you're hoping to get out of your harvest. When selecting potatoes for planting, it is recommended to purchase certified disease-free seed potatoes. You can, in theory, plant any potato and expect it to grow and produce, but because there are so many diseases and afflictions affecting potatoes, it's always a good idea to purchase clean and certified seed to avoid any such issues. Here where I am in Canada, the Canadian Food Inspection Agency is responsible for overseeing and certification of the seed potatoes themselves, and their job is to basically ensure the highest quality and that the potatoes are relatively free from tuber-borne diseases. Most online seed retailers will also sell seed potatoes, and a variety of seed potatoes are also usually available at the garden center in the early spring. A Google search for certified seed potatoes and your state or your province may also shed some light on potato growers that are local to you and your area. So how on earth do you actually plant potatoes? So potatoes are very versatile in that they can be grown in large containers such as buckets or potato grow bags, and they also thrive in raised beds and even in ground gardens. They do prefer rich, loose soil with excellent drainage, so try to avoid planting them into heavy clay or any low spots in your garden that collect a lot of standing water. Potatoes also thrive in slightly acidic soil, but if you're brand new to gardening and soil pH stresses you out, don't worry about that too much. A loose, healthy soil that has been well amended with compost and/or a balanced organic fertilizer is an excellent place to start. Now, I say organic fertilizer because for me personally, I'm an organic gardener. That's just what we tend to do around here. But I am not here to shame anybody for how they choose to grow their food. If you are gardening, you are gardening. Do what works for you. Now, if you can, it's a good idea to avoid planting potatoes where other potatoes have been planted in the last few seasons. You may also want to avoid areas where tomatoes, peppers, or eggplants have been grown recently, as these plants can also carry diseases that potatoes are susceptible to. Potatoes can generally be planted 2 to 4 weeks before your average last frost date, so if you do need further clarification on your frost dates or you need a little bit of a refresher, please refer back to episode number 3, Starting Your Very First Garden, because we go over all of that and your zoning and your frost dates and all of that good stuff in that episode. Potatoes do tend to do best in cool and damp but not soaking wet soil. If you want to get ultra nerdy about it, the ideal soil temperature for potato planting is 45 to 70 degrees Fahrenheit or about 8 to 21 degrees Celsius. But generally, shooting for a few weeks before your average last frost date is going to work just fine. So seed potatoes can be planted whole, or you can cut them into about golf ball-ish sized pieces with about 3 eyes on each piece. And eyes are the little indentations or bumps on the potato where the sprout will grow from. And actually, it's not uncommon to have sprouts already beginning on some seed potatoes if they've been in storage for a while. If you do choose to cut your potatoes up before planting, you may want to allow them to dry out for a day or so to prevent any issues with rotting when they're planted. Don't panic if they turn dark or even black after being cut. They are still perfectly viable and good to plant. So when you are ready to actually plant your potatoes, you're going to choose a spot in your garden that gets full sun and dig a hole about twice as deep as the potato is long and then place the potato inside. If you are able to put the eyes facing upwards, that's great because that's the direction that they're going to grow, but sometimes you have eyes all over the place on the potato, so just do your best with that. Cover the potato up with soil, give it a little bit of water, ensuring that the soil remains damp but not totally waterlogged. Potatoes do not like being soaking wet, and in some cases this will actually even cause them to rot. You will want to space your potato plants 10 to 16 inches apart, with about 30 to 48 inches between rows. So the closer and denser that the potato plants are to one another, the more small potatoes they will produce, whereas plants that have a lot of space are more likely to produce big, fat potatoes. Next, we are going to consider caring for your plants and something called hilling up. So potato plants can take anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks to emerge from the soil, so be patient. Once they come up, though, they'll usually get going pretty quickly. Thick green foliage will continue to grow, and as the stalks become longer, potato plants require something called hilling up. Once the stalks are about 6 to 8 inches above the soil surface, you can pack additional soil or compost around them, creating a bit of a hill around the potato plant. This adds some much-needed support to the foliage, and it also encourages more root growth, which can increase yields, and it will also help to prevent any of the tubers from turning green from sun exposure. Hilling up isn't completely like 100% necessary, but it's definitely recommended, and it will improve your potato harvest altogether. We do tend to hill our potatoes up pretty much all the time. It's just how I have always done things, and I am always very happy with my potato production. Potatoes are relatively heavy feeders, meaning that they require a lot of nutrients from the soil. If you planted in rich, well-amended compost soil in the spring, you may not need to add any additional fertilizer, but if you do choose to fertilize or feed your plants, a balanced fertilizer, meaning that it has equal parts of NPK or nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, should do the trick. There is a bit of science between what to feed when, depending on where the potato is at in like the growing process, but that's definitely outside the scope of this very basic overview, so please feel free to further research that if you'd like to. But generally speaking, a nice balanced fertilizer applied once or twice through the season should be plenty. So as you near the end of your season, it will be time to think about harvesting and storing your potatoes. When to harvest potatoes is a personal choice depending largely on your desired outcome. Typically, by the time the potato plants start flowering, which is generally between the 60 to 90 day mark, depending on the variety, you can harvest some baby potatoes or new potatoes by lightly sticking your hand into the soil and feeling around, gently pulling a few of the spuds free. If, however, you want full-size potatoes that are going to store well, then you will need to wait a little bit longer. Generally, potatoes are fully mature when the foliage begins to die back and turn brown. At this point, you can either just leave the foliage to die back on its own, or you can mow it or cut it down. At this point, potatoes can be actually left in the ground for 2 to 3 weeks longer, and this helps them to develop thicker skins, which will make them better candidates for long-term storage. When the time comes to harvest your potatoes, you can use a garden fork to gently loosen up the soil around the potato patch, and then you can kind of like turn the soil over and pull the spuds out by hand, being as careful as you can not to damage them in the process. You may be surprised just how deep down you have to dig to find them. Potato harvesting is a little bit like a treasure hunt. I think it's so much fun. Once you unearth your potatoes, you have to resist the urge to wash them and instead just lightly brush the soil off of them as best as you can. It's okay if you don't get all of it off because as the potatoes start to dry, that soil will dry as well and it'll be a lot easier to get it off. When it comes to preserving potatoes, there are several options. They can be canned in a pressure canner, they can be shredded and frozen for hash browns, they can be sliced, blanched, and dehydrated for scalloped potatoes or kettle chips, or they can be stored as is in long-term cold storage, such as a basement or a root cellar. In this particular episode, we're going to talk about long-term cold storage. So the best long-term storage candidates will be the potatoes that are free from any damage or blemishes or pest impact or anything like that. To prepare them for storage, it's best to undergo a process called curing, in which the potatoes are laid out for 7 to 10 days in a dim place away from any light, covered with a sheet or a towel, and allowed to dry out and develop an even thicker skin. Every 3 to 4 days, you will want to flip or turn your curing potatoes so that all sides are able to dry out and harden up. Once cured, the potatoes can be brushed off once again to remove any excess dirt, and then they can be stored in a cool, dark place. The ideal temperatures are between 45 to 55 degrees Fahrenheit or 7 to 13 degrees Celsius, and usually they will keep for about 3 to 4 months, although I have seen potatoes last even longer than that. We like to cover ours loosely in like just kind of brown packing paper, like what you would get when you get things in the mail, and keep them in a box or a laundry basket in a cool, dark part of our basement. It's a good idea to check on your stored potatoes every week or two just to make sure that none of them are turning green or soft or rotting or anything like that. And if any of them are, you will want to get those out of there right away. It is also very important to avoid storing your potatoes in the fridge, as these ultra cool temperatures will convert the starches into sugars, reducing the storage life and potentially causing a variety of other issues, such as the accumulation of a chemical called, now I'm not sure if I'm saying this right, I think it's acrylamide. I don't know, acrylamide, which is a chemical compound that may have links to increased cancer risk. So we don't want that. Now, like anything in the garden, there is always the potential to run into some problems. So an in-depth look at potential potato problems could be its own episode entirely, so I am not going to go into a ton of detail here, but if you would like to dig deeper into the issues that can arise with potatoes, there is an excellent article on the Government of Ontario's website that I will have linked in the show notes. The most common issues that you might run into with potatoes are things like blight, scab, and pests like the Colorado potato beetle. However, like most things, the majority of issues with potatoes can be managed and mitigated by using certified disease-free seed potatoes, planting the right plant in the right place, keeping on top of weeding and pest management, and practicing good crop rotation year after year. Okay, so how was that for a fast and furious crash course on potatoes? I really hope that this episode was helpful and informative for you, and that you're excited and ready to grow some gorgeous potatoes in your spring and summer garden this year. Even though this was a fair bit of information, I promise you that potatoes are actually very easy to grow, and I'd be willing to bet that you could toss some seed potatoes in your soil and have at least some success, even if you didn't pay very close attention to them. However, if you're going to spend the time and money on your garden, I obviously want you to have the very best garden that you can have. So hopefully these tips will help you with that. Thank you so much for listening all the way to the end of this episode. If you would like to support the work that I am doing in creating this podcast, there are a few ways that you can do that. First, if you haven't already, you can rate, review, and subscribe to the show in your podcast player of choice. Second, you can share this podcast with a friend who you think might find it helpful, or you can share it to your social media accounts. If you do, please be sure to tag me at A Little Self-Reliant so I can thank you and see what you're up to as well. If you'd like to support the podcast financially, you can head over to patreon.com/alittleselfreliant and choose from 5 different levels of monthly monetary support. Tiers start as low as just $3 a month, and benefits can include bonus episodes, a holiday gift and card in the mail, Q&A video calls, and shoutouts on the show. Your support means the world to me and helps me to continue bringing you fresh new episodes week after week. You are also invited to join my Facebook group, Living a Little Self-Reliant. And in there, we talk all about self-reliance topics such as gardening, cooking, food preservation, raising animals, and so much more. Just answer the questions when you request to join and let me know that you heard about the group on the podcast, and I'll be sure to get you in there right away. You can search for the group right in Facebook, and I will also have it linked in the show notes for this episode. Okay, well, that is all I have for you today. So until next time, take care, have a great week, and I will talk to you again soon. Thanks for listening to A Little Self-Reliant. I hope you learned something or felt something, or maybe even gained some inspiration to try something new. Feel free to connect with me on Instagram at A Little Self-Reliant, or you can follow our homesteading adventures under the handle Dirty Paws Homestead. You can also visit alittleselfreliant.com to see the blog post and show notes that accompany this episode. And until next time, remember, we may not be able to do everything, but a little self-reliance goes a long way.